Good morning, and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church of Erhard, our first ever virtual service. I'm so glad that you could join us, friends. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. We don't know if we'll be delayed longer. We probably will. I think everyone is thinking that. So we are moving very quickly to try to live stream our services. The equipment has been ordered. And we might be able to pull it off by next Sunday. But if not, we will be doing this again. So welcome. By way of just an announcement in terms of what's going on at Grace, I hope you know that all of our activities here are canceled. We're doing virtual church services. I'm trying to do daily devotions that I put on Facebook. I'm keeping office hours, so I'm in the office. If you need to call me or contact me, I'm available. We are just connecting a lot through various means. And with a further announcement regarding that, I'd like to invite our youth director up, Daisha Johnson.
In keeping with our virtual activities, for youth, I am doing Sunday school videos so that you'll be able to see that for your kids as well as connecting with our Foundry friends. I am doing a weekly video chat through Google Hangout and Meet, so if you'd like to join in, you can find the link on the Foundry Facebook page.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's good to be together, and I'd like to invite you to join with me in singing Be Thou My Vision.
Save them the Lord.
Our word of worship is found in the book of Psalm, chapter 142, verses 1 through 7. I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out before him my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, it is you who watch over my way. In the path where I walk, people have hidden a snare for me. Look and see, there is no one at my right hand. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. Let us pray. O Lord, comforter of the sorrowing and strength of the weak, hear our prayers for all who are suffering during this time of turmoil and distress, that whatever their needs, they may look to you in faith, receiving and knowing your help and comfort. Amen.
Thank you, Amy and Dacia. I love the line out of Be Thou My Vision, where it talks about, High King of Heaven, my victory has won. And indeed, he has won the victory. And we just heard Dacia read a portion of this beautiful psalm that reminds us that God indeed is our refuge. And let's connect with that victory and connect with that refuge as we turn to God now for a moment of honesty and confess our sins to him and hear of his forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's promise to us from the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's claim that promise right now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. God's good news for us confessed sinners is that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith as it's summarized in the ancient creed, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God who gives us refuge, about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. My friends, May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God's peace to you. Good morning to all of you. The first reading today is found in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 9. The servant of the Lord. Here is my servant, whom I uphold, my chosen one, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out, or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness, he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people, and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord. That is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. The second reading for today is found in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, verses 8 through 14. Walking in the light. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you." Let us pray. Keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, and be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the farms and farmers, we give thanks, O Lord, for spring and summer, for seed and soil, for sunshine and showers, for farms and farmers, and above all, for life and growth from your hand. Bring warmth to our land that once again we may plow and plant. Make us good caretakers of the earth and faithful stewards of your bounty. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For the persecuted church, we pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you, Phil. Beautiful scriptures for this fourth Sunday in Lent. We heard in the Old Testament reading from Isaiah that God has sent his son in the form of a servant, and he calls us to walk with him in faith. And we heard in the epistle text from Ephesians that God calls us to walk in his light. My friends, during this time of darkness, of pandemic, God is shining his light, and we must walk in that light. So with that being said, we want to get to the message for today, but as you know, I always do a children's message before that, and I want to keep that going too. So kids, if you're watching, you can gather around the computer or the iPhone or the iPad now, the smartphone, and this one's for you. Now, last week, I used some glue, and I compared that glue to the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit's job is to bind us to Jesus. And I used these two boards to represent Jesus and then you. And I put the glue, and then I stuck these two boards together. Now, because the glue hadn't dried, they still could move, so I put a clamp on them. And parents, you were involved in this because I reminded the kids that the reason they were here in church was their parents. And so parents, you're the clamp that's going to hold these your kids to the Lord Christ until that glue dries. That's your role. And especially during this time, the kids might not be watching the news like you are. They might not know all of what's going on in the world with the coronavirus. But they're going to remember the household. They're going to remember this time where they were in quarantine. And so I want to encourage you parents to be that clamp for your kids, to clamp them to Jesus. Maybe this means some family time of prayer. Maybe this means tuning in to watch some Facebook videos that will talk about the Lord. But I want to show you something, kids. This glue has been on here for a week, and we'll take the clamp off now, and the glue has set. So parents, be that clamp, but the Holy Spirit will stick them to Jesus. So let's pray. Lord, we pray for our families during this time, that our family life might be one of peace, might be a time of looking to you together during this time. So Lord, we commit our families to you, and we ask that you would, by your Holy Spirit, grant us faith to ever cling to Jesus. Amen. Well, the title of today's message is from the gospel text for this fourth Sunday in Lent. The title is When Religion Resists Faith. Now, that may seem like a bit of a counterintuitive title, but I think we'll make sense out of it in a little bit. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray at this moment that by your Holy Spirit, you would create faith in our hearts to hear your word and to apply it. We ask this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Harry R. Truman, not Harry S. Truman, who was the president, but Harry R. Truman, became a momentary celebrity during the 2 months of the volcanic activity preceding the 1980 eruption of Mount St. Helens in Washington State. Truman's fame came when he defiantly refused to move away from his lakeside resort located near the mountain. He scoffed at the danger from the volcano, claiming that it was all over-exaggerated. In one interview, he said, "This area is heavily timbered. Spirit Lake is between me and the mountain is a mile away. The mountain ain't gonna hurt me." His niece called her uncle Harry a salty man who lived his life the way he really wanted to. He had built up a million-dollar resort business on 54 acres of prime scenic land located on Spirit Lake. Those close to Truman said that his unwillingness to leave had more to do with protecting his property and business, and who could blame him? It was a beautiful spot. For whatever reason, Truman had so fully invested himself in his property and in his defiant stand that he absolutely refused to change his mind and seek safety, regardless of the visible signs that the mountain was showing. Sadly, on May 18th, 1980, at 8:32 a.m., Mount St. Helens literally blew up with a searing blast that was clocked at 300 miles an hour. Some scientists stated that Truman probably only had time to turn his head, as moments later, Spirit Lake, Truman, and his resort were buried under 150 feet of volcanic rubble, with a new lake forming on the top of it. Today, from our gospel text in John chapter 9, we will see some men, some very religious men, so fully invested in their ideas about themselves, ideas about their heritage, their learning, and their ideas about God, that they would not yield to the truth of the signs that God was showing them in the person of Jesus Christ. Thus, the title, When Religion Resists Faith. Now, their ideas, when pressed together, formed a religion of their own making, a religion so stubbornly held that it would not yield to an undeniable sign of God's truth that called into question the sufficiency of what they were trusting in. This sign called them to surrender in faith to God, who had just broken into their world in the person of the God-man, Jesus Christ. This person and sign were God's gifts of grace to them, extended to change their lives for the better, but sadly, it was their man-made religion that resisted God's call to faith in Jesus Christ. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. Now, this is a very large text, and because I want us to focus on the issue of man-made religion, I've kind of selected out the statements of unbelief that are made for special attention, and then we'll move on from there. So John chapter 9, verses 1 through 41. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Then we jump to verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been born blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. "He put mud on my eyes," the man replied, "and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath," referring to Jesus, of course. "Give glory to God," they said to the blind man. "We know this man is a sinner. What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" "You are this fellow's disciples. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we do not even know where he comes from. You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw the blind man out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" "Who is he, sir?" the man asked. "Tell me, so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, "What? Are we blind too? Jesus said, if you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains. The word of the Lord. One of the things that stands out in this text so prominently is the issue of spiritual blindness. The Pharisees are classic examples of this. They thought they could see spiritually, but they were in fact blinded. They were blinded by a number of things, and we'll just list a few of them. First of all, they were blinded by their heritage. They were blood relatives of Abraham, so they felt that put them in a special standing. They were blinded by their education. They had committed themselves to a lifelong study of Moses' writings. They were blinded by their positions of power. And we see in this text that they had the power to exclude. When the blind man, didn't say what they wanted him to say, they put him out of the synagogue. And they had, in a sense, created their own religion. And this was a religion of their own making, a religion that kept them in firm control. And we see that in this text. And lest we sit back at this moment thinking this was their problem, we should consider the danger of our own self-made religion. Because the sin of the garden, the sin that we've inherited, is the sin of wanting control. Remember, Adam and Eve wanted to be like God, to know good and evil. And because we want control, we can often reject the idea that we are dependent upon God. We can compare ourselves to others to maybe feel better about ourselves or feel superior. We can forget our own failings as God would view them. And as a result, we can cut ourselves off from God's supply of grace and forgiveness. Now, I'm reminded of a couple of statements from Scripture at this point. One is from James chapter 4, verse 6. It says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And there we see the crux, don't we? The crux of this issue. Our pride, our wanting to be in control, will block us from God's grace. But if we come to Him, and as we said in our confession, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins. Another scripture is from Acts chapter 10, verse 34, where it just simply says this. I love this passage. God is no respecter of persons. He shows no partiality. And we often say that the ground is all level at the cross. No one gets to stand taller than anybody else because we're all sinners. So I want to just briefly drill down a bit on this idea of self-made religion or the essence of man-made religion. And I love this quote from Tim Keller, the founding pastor of Redeemer Presbyterian Church in Manhattan, New York. And he wrote a book called Counterfeit Gods. And this is what he says. The original temptation in the Garden of Eden was to resent the limits God put on us and to seek to be as God by taking power over our own destiny. We gave into this temptation and now it's a part of our nature. Rather than accept our finitude and dependence on God, we desperately seek ways to assure ourselves that we have power over our own lives. And that's one of the things right now that this pandemic is teaching us, our lack of control. We know when spiritual blindness hits us, we know where it comes from. So where does spiritual vision come from? Well, if we move from spiritual vision, from religion in general, to faith, specifically in Jesus Christ, we will see some very important things. First of all, faith begins with Jesus. Remember, Jesus came to the blind man twice. And he also comes to us constantly. And my friends, especially in this current situation, our Lord is calling us to faith on a daily basis. He is worthy of our faith. Keep your eyes on the cross. He proves it to us there. Faith is created by Jesus' action. Remember, Jesus was the one who made the mud, who applied the mud, and gave the word to wash. He gave the healing. And finally, faith comes to God with empty hands, offering him nothing but receiving everything. Humility and faith, you see, go hand in hand. If you're hanging on to something right now that you think terribly impresses God, and it's not Jesus Christ, if it's not his cross, my friends, let it go. It's only getting in the way. So faith is the connection to God's control. I want to read just one more quote from Pastor Tim Keller. He says this, Jesus is not only an example, he is a savior. Only by admitting our sin, need, and powerlessness, and by casting ourselves on his mercy, will we finally become secure in his love, and therefore be empowered in a way that does not lead us to oppress others. The insecurity is gone, the lust for power is cut at the root. So at the end of all this, we are really looking for a God-made faith, not a man-made faith. And as we illustrated last week, the Holy Spirit is the one who creates this faith, whose role is to glue us to Jesus. So in my spiritual blindness and my unhealthy desire for control, God calls me to look to Jesus in complete dependence. He calls me to admit my weakness and his power. He calls me to receive his spiritual healing in humility. He calls me to confess him as my only Savior. He calls me to worship him in spirit and truth. And he calls me to walk with him as my constant guide. And we are called to do this because of the cross of Christ. God has removed all barriers between himself and us in Jesus Christ. My friends, we live beneath an open heaven. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, I would still be blind to what alone brings me peace if you hadn't opened my eyes to see my need of you. How I long for the day when I will no longer be tempted to look for peace anywhere else but in you. Until that day, keep healing the eyes of my heart of all my spiritual myopia, astigmatism, or anything else that keeps me from seeing the magnificence of your glory and the full measure of your grace for me. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen and amen. Well, because of what Christ has done for us, we have the privilege of coming before God in prayer right now. And I think we definitely have some things to pray for. But often it's helpful if we take our minds off ourselves and pray for others at times like this. And there are certainly others who need our prayers. So let us pray. Gracious Lord, we lift up before you those who need your help and healing in a special way today. We ask, Lord, that you would be with those who are gripped by the virus. We pray, Lord, that you would bring healing. We also, Lord, pray especially for those first responders now who are on the front line, the doctors and nurses who are treating those who suffer from this disease. Lord, watch over them and keep them safe. Give them encouragement. Give them strength to to do their godly task. Lord, we thank you for all of those who are on the front line, who are keeping the grocery stores open and keeping the gas stations open, the hardware stores open, and the other supplies we need as we live, Lord. Watch over them, too. Keep them safe. And Lord, during this time of crisis, we look to you. Lord, help us not to make an idol out of the coronavirus. May we look only to you as our refuge and strength. Give us wisdom to practice good hygiene, to be careful, but may we ever look to you, Lord, as our refuge and strength. And Lord, at this moment now, we pray to you the prayer that you yourself have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
I'd like to invite you to join me in singing our closing song this morning, "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Jesus, Jesus, how I
Thank you, Amy. My friends, as always, be well, be safe, and be encouraged. The Lord is walking with us. He is reaching out to you every day. He is worthy of your trust. If you doubt that, look to the cross, for God is fully invested in you, and he loves you very much. Receive the Lord's blessing now. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our awesome God. Thanks be to God.